Yeah, welcome everyone. My name's Yudval Patel, CTO for Renaissance. A little bit about us, if you don't know about Renaissance, is we are more than a network. We have a variety of services that we offer to our member agents that range the gamut from data analytics to placement services and provide a whole host of other things. And today we got two amazing people with us, Andrew and August, who are going to talk to us about the ins and outs of data. And we're looking forward to having them and hearing some of their insights. Let me turn it over to them to give a brief introduction of themselves and the companies they work for. We'll start first with Andrew.
Hi, Andrew Booney. I'm Client Solutions Manager here with the Rodian Group. We are a managed services and cybersecurity company. Our goal at Rodian is to remove the complexity between insurers and people through technology, cybersecurity, and compliance.
All right, August.
Hey everyone, August Butterbrodt, Senior Director of Product Management for Vertafore. We provide a lot of solutions in the industry to help you run your insurance agency. And more specifically, where I focus is data delivery and advanced analytics and how we can provide better and data insights into your book overall.
Perfect. And looking forward to hearing both of your thoughts on everything data. And a quick jump into why this topic. I think one of the questions that we get from a lot of agents is like, why should I invest in all these like data solution? What's it with this pipeline? I've been running an agency for 30, 40 years, and it's about customer experience, meeting the customer, and talking about the risks, selling them on the right policy. That's the type of business that I'm in. But why do we even want to deal with this? And so to talk to some of those folks, as well as folks that just don't maybe have a sense of like how to start, what to do, what are the risks, how do you think about some of this stuff is important. And today I'm repping my traveler's hat because we're working on a lot of like really interesting things with like carriers on kind of delivering data to everyone. And so what we want to get is both of your takes on interesting kind of things and best practices around data. So we'll start with August. August, you guys are working on a lot of really interesting thing around the data pipeline. Everybody's talking about data this, data that. And why, at a high level, why should an agent care about their end-to-end data value chain? What's so important about it? And what are you seeing as the impact that agents can have when they have a good data pipeline?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think like in general with what's happening in this industry, there's a lot of factors going on, right? It's a hard market in a number of different verticals of where carriers have an appetite to write risk today. And then on top of that, you look at how an agency is valued and how they roll up and kind of talk about the value of their book, whether they're trying to be acquired from an M&A perspective or reporting up to shareholders. And when I think about data, like, and the importance of it, I really look at like there's six core metrics that I see a number of different agencies leveraging in terms of trying to understand like where they're looking to take their business. And these six metrics to me are not like the end all be all of data, but if you can hone in on these six things at a producer level, all the way up to your overall business, I think you have a very good grasp and are actually potentially beating your peers in a lot of ways in terms of like how your performance is optimized. And those six things really kind of come down to what is my overall retention rate of my book of business? When it comes to that retention and that renewal, am I cross-selling or rounding out that client's risk profile appropriately to ensure that they have the right sort of coverage with whatever business or personal lines coverage they're looking for? And then it gets into where you're writing and who you're writing with. And so a number of, with it being such a hard market, a number of agencies are trying to hone in on preferred carriers and trying to write with those carriers that have the right appetite and kind of not having as large of a list of carriers that they're writing with, but writing the majority of their business with very select strategic carrier partners. And then on top of that, knowing when they need to remarket that risk in terms of there could be pockets of your portfolio that are at risk of not having that carriers pull out. So whether you're riding in a flood region in Eastern Texas or fires in Napa, knowing where there's pockets of your book that could be susceptible to change is a really big part of that, right? And so when you get through that in terms of the cross-sell competency, the retention competency, your preferred carrier, and then your times that you have to remarket, you then start to really have a very clear understanding of a renewal and where to like kind of like focus that that part of the renewal. And so while there's more metrics beyond that, getting down to that level of understanding who you're riding with and who you're retaining is very important overall.
No, I love it. And then there's so much kind of evidence out there that if perpetuation is the end goal for everything, like it's a 2x value increase for folks that have a great pipeline. And so I think you hit on some amazing points. And I think the other kind of key point around this is like, you know, the old adage of like garbage in, garbage out. I mean, we've seen it so many times before, like Tay, the old Microsoft robot like bot that took over Twitter. I mean, it was seconds before it became super racist and very confrontational. I mean, it's kind of scary to think about AI in the future and how quickly it might turn on us. But given that kind of like process, so what are you guys doing to like help agents think about, you know, data cleansing, data value, and kind of delivering data in a unique way?
Yeah, so we've been really focused on our partnership with AWS and centralizing our data in a centralized repository within AWS for customers. And so not only is it really just centralizing data like overall, but Vertafore, we do have a lot of products, and typically most folks have more than one product with us. But it's how do you centralize that data and then start to think about the cross-product integration for making data possible. So like, you know, use your in an AMS 360 product as well as an ImageWrite product. How do we link that customer together to have a more holistic view of that person? And that part of the data strategy is something that we ultimately want to get to, but centralizing the data and moving it to a place where it's more accessible has been something that we've been doing for the last year and a half. And then once that data is centralized, being able to normalize and provide a more like standardized data set to then like ideate and build new features off of it is like kind of the next step to that process. And then creating a centralized place for clients to get access to their data across multiple products that Vertafore offers is meant to kind of create a more simplistic way for of clients getting access to their data. So that kind of like data centralization approach and then unified data delivery is where we're focused. And then over time, getting to more of a cross-product reporting sort of capability, as well as getting to more granular views of like the value of a client and their lifetime value and things of that nature is where we're looking to go after we get through the data centralization step that we're working on right now.
That makes sense. And there's so much value now that like you have these like multi-office agents that are like really picking up books. That centralization makes that whole M&A process so much easier when you pick up your first extra office. So I love that you guys have been down this path for it. And I think there's going to be so much more value with like real-time stuff that you guys are doing. Like it's really interesting kind of what agents might be able to get. And so like, I know we've started talking about kind of that data flow and it's now coming into the system. Andrew, kind of wanted to bring you in on this. Like, you know, there's a lot of PII flowing to that system. You know, what are best practices that agents can use to protect that data as it goes through that pipeline?
Yeah, I was going to share my screen with everyone real quick. What I wanted to cover from a high level and just get people thinking about like data security, like a 30,000 foot view. Right. And I want to start with like, what is data security? And how do you view it? And I want to give you guys like a framework on how to view this. So what I'm showing you guys here on the screen is what's referred to as the CIA triangle. And we'll start with the C, which is like confidentiality. It's keeping information secret that you would like to remain secret. So an example of this, right? A hacker compromises an email and can read sensitive business discussions between like a CFO and a CEO. Like this would be like a breach of confidentiality. I, integrity. It's being able to trust that information has not been changed and remains intact. This is an example, and this one might hit a little close to home today. Hacker changes a routing number or bank account.
Oh my
number.
God, don't tell me. Don't give me this right now. It hurts too much.
Before a financial transaction occurs. So this would be a breach of integrity. I know, it's too soon. Availability is having the ability to access the data and systems without interruption. So like if a hacker were like to get into your email, change your password, you'd be locked out of your business email. So that would create a breach of availability. It's important to note that there's trade-offs between these foundations, right? So security and convenience, they never go hand in hand. So for like a control that would increase confidentiality, it might make it more difficult for availability, like because you'll have more steps to log in, like multi-factor authentication, or even like slowing down your systems a little bit to enforce things like additional scanning, let's say if like a SIM integration, things like that. It's always a trade-off between all of these systems. So I think to start, you just need to like look at everything you have like holistically, and then start thinking about what the proper balance for your organization would be for, you know, confidentiality, integrity, and availability, and just finding that sweet spot that works for, you know, your data and what you guys do.
Nice. That's good to know. And a little background on folks on why this hurts. I actually had my own checking account hacked. Somehow somebody got access to my routing number and account number, did a couple of test transactions that came through. And now I'm dealing with the consequences of like, you know, I got to shut down an account, open up a new account, transfer all my kind of things. Luckily, I caught it and I was like vigilant about seeing those test transactions come through, or else it could have been easy, a case where, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 could have gone out the window. And this is kind of why like protecting PII becomes so critical, because the policyholder on the other side is facing those consequences. Kind of speaking on that consequences lens is like, you know, why should an agent care about keeping that PII locked down? I mean, what happens if they don't?
Yeah. Insurance is a data-rich industry. It makes it a prime target for cyber threats and bad actors. There's plenty of information even outside of like social security numbers, private health information, financial information, that are just spread across multiple integrated systems. And these threats are evolving constantly. And it's been evolving even faster with AI tech in play. I mean, there's like new attack methods that can bypass MFA, which we always thought was like one of the most effective controls available. So like having a good understanding of data security and these applicable controls can help establish what's called like defense in depth, or just layering control so that if one protection fails, there's like several redundancies to help combat these like evolving threats. Something to think about. Regulations and requirements for cyber liability providers, they're always changing because of like the evolving nature of these attacks. The prerequisites change with like every renewal. If you guys have noticed, like your cyber renewal this year looks a lot different than it did last year, and there's probably a bunch of terms in there you've never seen before. Like, I would bet at least 20-30% of folks out there have no idea what like a Microsoft Secure Score is, but now the question's showing up on your cyber liability renewal, like what's your Microsoft Secure Score? So it's a lot to consume. It's a lot of new information, and it's constantly evolving. And the issue in our industry is that like not a lot of insurance professionals, I'm sure most of you here though, but in general, understand like the fundamentals of data security, like, let alone cybersecurity in general, to make these decisions and fill out these forms correctly. So let's think about like what happens if you don't take this seriously. So you wake up one day and you realize all of your data on your file server is now locked. Like there's a weird file extension in all your files, and then you find like a scary sounding ransom note that's asking you to pay like one or two bitcoins to get your stuff back. Or you look in your Outlook inbox and you see a ton of replies from clients, carriers, vendors, and they're saying you've somehow sent them all phishing emails from your mailbox. You're now looking at a breach. Let's say you didn't already have a written incident response plan, which is basically like a playbook you pull out of your drawer and you start on it as soon as something like this happens. Like, what do you do next? Like, who do you call first? Right? So these are all like immediate impacts of not taking these things seriously. Aside from the business impact of potentially losing access to your data, now you're tasked with following, you know, your state's relevant breach notification laws, which is like you have a set amount of time, really depends on your state, to notify like your state's insurance agency about the breach, getting information out to your clients about like a potential impact to their data. I know some folks who had a breach involving protected health information. They spent a few months, easily 200 man hours, I would say, from their side,
of just
going back and forth with the Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights about what measures they did to protect that PHI that was in place. And they were just gathering artifacts, evidence that they actually did things. And because they didn't have laid out policies, procedures, and evidence ahead of time, they had to retroactively go and piecemeal this whole thing together. So it's a lot of time lost. And the end results of that is, you know, pending like the investigation, they were looking at a pretty sizable fine from OCR. I know it sounds daunting to even like start thinking about putting these programs and procedures in place at your agency, but honestly, would you rather spend a little bit of time and money up front, or just take the risk, just gamble on whether or not you'll have to spend thousands of dollars and just hundreds of man hours later on cleaning up after something bad does happen?
I mean, what's that first step, Andrew? Like, what if you had to give them one takeaway to leave today? What's that first step they should do?
This is something that I feel like it's overlooked a lot by agencies. It's figuring out where you have protected data. Where's your data now? Some people will say, "Oh, it's on my desktop." But what does that actually mean, right? Is it on your desktop PC in your office? Is it being synced to OneDrive? Is it in Office 365? Is it remaining there all the time? Do you get it all into your agency management system? Is it being stored on a server? Getting the inventory of what you have is always the first step, in my opinion, and just knowing where your stuff is. Because if you miss that later on, like if you're putting protections in place and policies in place, but you don't have a solid inventory of where your stuff actually lives, you're gonna miss something. And to dive deeper into that, it's even knowing like where the data lives within those systems. So like, for example, on your computer, is it on your desktop? Do you have it stored in some weird folder on your C drive somewhere? Are you saving it to, is everything in SharePoint, OneDrive? Are all the policies in place to protect those folders and files so that only folks who actually need access get it? It's very important to just take an inventory, figure out who has access to what, and make sure you cover where everything is and everything lives.
No, that's so true. And the maze of a folder structure that I have, I'm sure nobody would be able to find any data in my system. August, I want to get you in on this. I mean, the AWS stuff seems like now like a treasure trove of like data, and you know, centralizing it also carries that risk. What are you guys doing to protect that data?
Well, I mean, I think moving a number of our applications that may be on-prem to online with AWS security, like, always just kind of makes me feel a lot better in terms of being able to do that. And then when we talk about data delivery for clients to get access to their data by creating one centralized access point and by leveraging AWS security like thresholds. I mean, it is a much more secure way to get access to your data than ever before. So like, I feel like, I mean, it's something that I feel like we as Vertafore want to make that conscientious effort, not only to make it easier for a client to get, but to have that that knowledge that it's more secure, like in parallel to that. So like, that's been an easy selling point overall in terms of why we're doing that. And I think like, when you think about all the unstructured data and where that lives today in certain components, being able to bring that into a place that is more secure and then run some generative AI machine learning against that, that actually makes servicing a customer a lot faster and a lot easier over time with the data strategy roadmap that we have, right? So I think it's like kind of bringing two capabilities in a more secure fashion, which I think is always important.
No, I love it. And getting both of your takes on this, Gen AI, what's hot, what's not? give me your takes on it.
I use it every day. I feel like at least from the standpoint of like a task worker or like back office, basically anyone using like standard office solutions, there's a lot of upside to this if you have the patience. I've been using Microsoft Copilot for a few weeks now, and it's saved me a ton of time. My issue with it though is I still don't, and this is good, it's a good issue, I don't trust the output yet. So I mainly use it for proofreading or for like cleaning things up. The email generation capabilities and stuff aren't quite there yet. I've used it to respond, like, please respond to Ooj in a formal tone with additional suggestions for XYZ. And then you can reference like a file, put it in, and it'll generate something. And maybe 30% of the time you'll get a good email. The others, the structure will not make any sense. Mm-hmm. And it'll just pull in extra data from your 365 tenant and have like no references. So you know, it's garbage in, garbage out, depending on what you reference. However, it's still kind of a crapshoot of what you'll get out of it, unless you have very specific parameters for Gen AI, like very specific requests. It can do well, but if you're too vague, who knows?
Yeah, no, we've been playing with that as well, with some back end like POC work that we've been doing. We do have some generative AI capabilities that have launched through Vertafore in general, but I think going back to what you said in the beginning, in terms of like why people like are in insurance today, it's about building relationships. It's having a trust with that person across the table of what coverages you're offering, and knowing that like you're going to get something that protects your business or your personal coverage and things of that nature. What I see Gen AI doing in this industry is allowing people to get back to those practices of being more of a relationship oriented person. And Gen AI, in my opinion, is going to eliminate a lot of mundane and duplicative tasks that happen when servicing a customer today. Yep. We see it happen across the board with our Vertafore products, and we have a very great opportunity to simplify and harmonize like a lot of different things that are happening in different systems and eliminating a lot of tasks that are happening over and over again. And I think that that's where I get the most excited, thinking about all the unstructured data that we have about a client or a policy and things of that nature, that we can build a plan to having a centralized way to grabbing information about customers when they call in, when they have a question about their bill or their account or their coverage. You're not looking in three different systems across three different PDFs to identify that. It can populate that a lot quicker. And so I think that that's where I think the beauty of like some of this technology will come to light in terms of getting people back to why they got in this industry to begin with. And that was to sell coverages and build relationships. So
no, 100% agree. Yeah.
I find that to be exactly one of the most exciting things about this. A lot of people fear the human element going away as we bring in like generative
the
AI.
Robot revolution.
Yeah, but honestly, we're not. I don't think we're going to be using it for that. We're using it to automate work that, you know, it's just time consuming. Like for example, I'd rather be I'm in technical sales. I'd rather be out there talking to our customers, talking to our prospects, getting to know their business. I don't want to spend hours analyzing complex Excel sheets that I've made. So if AI can help analyze and create tables for me, create charts, save me like 20% of my time, great, because that gives me more time to talk to people and actually like learn about their businesses and what they do. That's great.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the pivot table thing. Like, where I'm on site with a client right now, and they just showed me their entire process of how they build pivot tables to see their carrier relationships among a line of business. And I almost fell out of my chair because I was like, how long did that take you? And they're like, about 45 minutes. And with a generative AI like component to be able to say, how much do I have in force with travelers in the state of Ohio? And like to basically populate that in a matter of seconds versus building something in 45 minutes. It's like, that's the time savings that you're getting on that, to be able to, because we're very data rich in insurance, but we're insight lacking still. And like to get to close the gap on that, I think would be huge.
And I love that statement. We are data rich, but insight light. And I think you can't stress the point enough that both we made earlier is like, but it's not going to eliminate tasks to zero, because the other risk is like Andrew's kind of earlier point where it's like, all right, you got to be careful what it's writing, because if you have your Gen AI do proposals for you and there's an error, you better have E&O coverage to cover that error, right? Because that's a policyholder that might not have the right type of coverage that you sold them or quoted them. So there's definitely kind of this balance that we have to deal with. I'm wondering, is this insight problem, like how are both of your organizations dealing with insights? How does that get like put back to the customers through kind of all the data that you guys collect?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like with Gen AI specifically, it's given us more time to produce better reporting. I've been working on a few projects myself just to like collate all this data and then get useful information out of it for our client to present to our clients. I mean, if you look at it this way, it's not dissimilar to an agency, right? We have like hundreds of clients, and just raw data, sitting down and getting, I don't know, like a back office worker to sort it and then put things in appropriate columns, and then separated by customers and then send them out. When we can automate a lot of this stuff through generative AI, we can actually turn these reports around faster. And then more of this can be automated. So I can pull reports from like a ticketing system, from a monitoring tool, and have useful metrics and useful diagrams ready on a schedule, without any extra work, available for my customers. It's a huge time savings. And again, it really allows me to just have better conversations instead of sitting there looking at a spreadsheet for 4 hours, trying to make sense of it and trying to think like, how am I going to make this look nice for them, so I can talk about these like three columns specifically that they care about. Right. So it's a great way to get meaningful data faster. And if you have the correct prompts, it can be like fairly automated and pretty standardized. Like, there's not a lot of, there won't be too much like difference between like report sets, as long as you use the same prompts each time.
I think
for me, I always think about like the renewal workflow and the value that can come with generative AI, in terms of like, there are so many different things that you have to do within a renewal that we ask account managers or producers to focus on, and how many account managers and producers are working off of multiple lists, whether it's emailed to them from their manager, it's something that they printed out in Excel, they print out a book of business report from AMS 360. They're working off of so many different things in order to know what to prioritize for the renewal. And what I kind of like is when a renewal happens, we can simplify that and automate that to say, focus on writing with these specific carriers or remarket this policy because we know what's happening in this hard market within a pocket of the business. And you're going to have to do that regardless. So get out in front of that versus other sort of things that you should be focused on. And I think the idea of being able to tell clients where there's pockets of vulnerability in their portfolio is ultimately something that they're looking for insight for. And that could really streamline that process. And so that part to me is exciting, where the centralized intelligence of data living in multiple places kind of comes to life. And then you can even take into account like customer sentiment in terms of like how they're communicating with you. Are they happy, angry, or sad versus their overall profitability, and trying to understand like, should we be worried about this customer not leaving us, or are we okay with it? Or do we want to do some things to ensure that we can improve our customer satisfaction overall? Like a lot of those data points are siloed out today, and bringing that all in one place is huge for me. So
that's kind of exciting to think about. The ability to, I don't know if it'll ever replace people doing this, but the ability to interpret customer sentiment from like interactions via email and like chat.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, because I mean, one, right? Like it's a machine, so it'll take it at face value. It won't have, you know, like Andrew didn't drink enough coffee today, so he's reading this email from Uj in a different light. Like, Uj is mad at me. I'm going to, you know, but then the machine will just see the whole chain and say, well, he seems fine.
Right. Exactly. But then it's also going to look at the sentiment of the customer, but then they are a homeowner in Florida, and we know that that's a hard market, right?
Yeah.
So, like, how do you get out in front of the fact that you're going to have a hard conversation with Uj about his premiums that are about to go up? And, you know, he seems like a happy customer, but is that going to prompt him to go rate shopping? How do you build out a view that basically shows like, you want to stay with me because I can see what's happening in the marketplace. I can compare what you're doing from a benchmarking perspective. Like, I have the best offer for you, and I've been with you for 5+ years or however long it is. Like, you should stay riding with us, right? Like being able to come in with that level of confidence with the data, but also understanding where they sit emotionally, I think is important, right?
No, 100%. I mean, if an agency doesn't have like tools like, you know, the new like revenue accelerator from Zoom, or like there's a ton of things around like sentiment analysis on text messages or phone calls, like they're missing out on a valuable source for kind of that renewal flow. I think the other kind of very kind of interesting thing is like the impact on just opening up a talent resource we didn't have. Like, think about like the neurodiversity, you know, community that's out there. And these type of tools can make such a big impact on recruiting from a place that we typically didn't recruit from. And we have such a talent problem, right, within the industry. And some of these tools can augment that capability like so well. So I'm super excited to see kind of where some of that come stuff goes.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I never even considered that.
Yeah. I think it's there's fantastic tools out there to do it. And if you're having a problem hiring a producer right now, and you can equip them with something like this, you got like people who would love to work at your agency that now you can finally kind of bring on board because they have that assist that helps them think about how this interaction's going. It'll be kind of interesting to see kind of how agencies take advantage of it. But we have a brave volunteer with a question. So I'm going to read it to you guys, and please ask questions in the Q&A channel if you want it. So the first question is, how can we put together data from different places in our company to create a centralized place to understand our customers? So I'm guessing this goes to the cross-functional nature of data. August, do you want to take a crack?
Yeah, so for us on the Vertafore side, by centralizing our data, like we are looking at things using generative AI, using this tool from Bedrock, which is within AWS, where we can stitch together a client across multiple products to kind of create a master data management component of where we can see used in different platforms and identify that that is the right form of that person, and building out a kind of a cross product reporting schema that that can report off of that. Like that's kind of one of the big things that we're looking at, of how to take the different Vertafore components and bringing them into one place, so then all those units can talk to each other. And then when you think about the work that we're trying to do with Agency One, once we can stitch that layer of a customer together, we could then build a unified platform that shows different elements within the workflow of different products in one centralized view to kind of take action off of that. So that's like one of the big things that we're looking at, of how to stitch that data like holistically across the board. A number of clients as well are building out their own development strategies overall. So like we do have the Orange Partner Program, where there are Orange partners out there that build help build development and IT solutions on behalf of clients that may not have that competency built up yet. And we work with those Orange partners and the client in parallel of how to give an approved third party access to that client data to build out that strategy as well. So we're looking at it both from an internal product roadmap perspective, as well as working with clients, whether it's, you know, the CTO or CIO of an agency, or they're bringing in a third party to help them build that out.
That's interesting. Andrew, what are you guys doing from anything cross-functionally?
Yeah, something that we're working on is, again, back to like the Microsoft stack. Microsoft is working on ways to integrate data across all of your M365 and Azure data sources. So let's say if you have like relevant information, like let's say you have a quote that you sent over to a coworker through Teams, and then you have something in an email, and then an Excel spreadsheet in OneDrive, and then another Excel spreadsheet in SharePoint. The integration is occurring now. It's still in its infancy, but it's starting to work fairly okay, where you can pull all of the data together into like a PowerPoint or a Word document across all data sources without having to hunt each thing down. And it's at the point now where it'll give you suggestions on things that could be related to what you're working on, and then suggest ways you can integrate these data points into like your presentation or into your quote. So you can have it like even reference other materials in like a Word document as like a little appendix at the bottom, which is pretty neat. And it'll attach it separately and say like, okay, so this is like our history with Ush. These are the spreadsheets that show like his banking transactions from 2022 to 2024. And then this is like his banking history. And then this is the policy that'll cover his losses from like a cyber attack. So here you go. And we'll have it in a nice little Word document for you, like auto-generated with all of the data sources across. So it's coming together pretty nicely. And this is maybe like the seventh or eighth month this has been available. So it's pretty neat.
Nice. Okay. So one couple more questions for you guys. What in your mind is a good dashboard? Like, what does it contain? How do you guys think like that process within these companies can change?
Like a good data dashboard, like APIs. Boy. So I think that where you're winning and losing business, I think, is important. So like a view that shows on a regular basis what new business you brought in, what you've retained, what you've cross-sold off that business, and then more importantly, what you've lost, I think is the biggest thing holistically overall. So like the biggest part about new business is like what net new are you bringing in? So like that's, you know, like in terms of like measuring that growth, right? And then when you think about your retention rate, I think the biggest thing that's important with the net retention rate is where is your retention falling in with industry factors across the board, whether it's state or line of business, things of that nature. And then not only are you retaining that book, but are you optimizing that book and like rounding out that client's risk, which is why cross-sell is so important, because you're continuing to build a larger revenue stream off of that existing base, which I think is very important. And then when it comes to lost business, what sort of outreach are you doing to try to win that client back. Like, I think that that is really, really important holistically overall. And when you look at that, when you look at like that, like those simple measures, you can slice and dice that based on division or line of business or state, and then hone in on where you're successful or not successful based on how large or small of an agency you are. So like that to me would be like where I would start first is like, can you answer on a regular basis, did I have a good or a bad month versus my budget or forecast or reporting to shareholders?
Love it. And I guess we got two more questions and we'll wrap it up. If anybody has questions, please hit the Q&A because we'd love to hear kind of what you guys think. So Andrew, 5 years from now, what are the scary things that agents need to care about?
Oh man, I know we spent a lot of time talking about it, but I think looking at the dark side of AI, AI is making it easier to code for everyone, good or bad, right? So now we have folks with very little coding skills creating malware, creating programs that can do malicious things, and even using AI to create like convincing phishing attacks at scale. We've seen reports in the wild. Our director of cybersecurity ran into this at a conference where people are using AI to impersonate people's voices. So someone can call pretending to be me and say, hey, it's Andrew. I'm kind of in a bind. Could you run over to Walgreens and give me some Google Play gift cards? And it sounds just like me. And they're even at the point where they're getting inflection correct. And just the way, and even my vocabulary, they're catching that. So it's kind of terrifying. Other big thing is like the general scale of cyber attacks. We've seen things on the news with like...
Snowflake, and yeah. Ticketmaster as a consequence.
Right, and or there's one today. It's whoever provides the like CRM or like sales data for all the car dealerships, or about 15,000 of them. I forgot the name of the company, but 15,000 dealerships across the US and Canada can't sell stuff today because their sales solution is down, had an attack at their data center. But the general scale of these cyber attacks, it's kind of staggering. For the average person, it's also scary. I was reading a report earlier this week that the FBI estimates just from one scheme alone, which is called pig butchering, they estimate that $4 billion
was
lost in 2023. It's $4 billion. And for those who don't know what this is, it's called pig butchering because these people are targeted and they're like fattened up by the criminals before they're convinced into like handing over like all of their savings into like a cryptocurrency scheme. Like the schemes themselves are pretty complex. There's a lot of insane like socioeconomic factors that go into like how this is made, like basically sweatshops for scammers, which is terrible in and of itself. But the scale that these things are happening, and with the introduction of AI to make some of these tasks automated for them, I would not be surprised if that number doubled in 24.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. And it's like one of our listeners right now has their husband's companies down to the fact, due to that fact, like that cyber attack. And I mean, like the importance of business interruption insurance is like not a small thing to talk about with your small commercial clients. I mean, like, this is a real fact. Like, it's it will impact so many people's lives with these like massive hacks that come through. And it's scary, like all the things that are happening. And also kind of very sad because especially pig butchering, they rely on people's like loneliness to like, you know, give them companionship and things like that. And so it's like, it's so hard not to trust somebody in that situation given like who they target.
Yeah, and again, it's scary because right now it's somewhat a manual process, with people who oftentimes are not doing this willingly, right? And to give these criminals more tools to automate a lot of these processes, yeah, it's gonna be bad. The good news is there's people developing AI and other things to combat this. So it's like an escalating war right now with technology. It's a very interesting time.
Yeah, it is definitely an arms race in that sense. Just like leaving all the negative things behind, because Andrew and I can get super negative. August, we're going to leave you with some positive notes.
Yeah.
Tell me, what are the positive things you're seeing in the next 5 years for agencies?
Well, I think the positive things that I think are going to happen from this is, I think companies that lean in and use Gen AI correctly, whether it's offerings through Vertafore and things of that nature, I think it's going to create better employee retention rates at certain companies and agencies overall, because people that lean in and embrace this and build more optimized workflows is going to lead to better employee retention and engagement. And I think if some places are not thinking about improving the workflow and how to service customers, I think it's ultimately going to impact customer satisfaction as well. And I think you're going to see like agencies start to move like faster than others. And I think from a positive perspective, I think customers are going to get serviced a lot quicker and faster. And I think it's going to bring a better experience to the employee overall.
I appreciate it, Andrew. August,
I have one last take on this. I know that we've been talking about this for a while, that overall, like, the average age in insurance is going up and it's harder for us to attract younger talent. I think with the introduction of like Gen AI, other newer technologies, we can actually make it attractive for people to come and work in, because it's not going to be, well, at least to some younger folk, I don't know, less sexy, less tech savvy job. It's becoming, or it can become, on the same level as, like, I don't know, even working in like Silicon Valley, where you can make huge improvements in technology and in like coding Gen AI through insurance, right? So it makes the job more attractive for folks who never would have not even given it a second thought, right? Because unless your family's already in the business, what kid out there is like, I'm gonna sell insurance? Haven't met a single one who grew up saying that. Come right
on. I said that all the time to my wife, myself, right? So thank you both for participating on wonderful insights. Now turn it over to Madeline to close us out.
Yes. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on this conversation. Especially big thanks to our panelists, Andrew, August, Uj. This was a really insightful conversation. And I actually just want to throw out there that my family and I just set a family password, so that in case we get one of those phone calls where it's my mom saying, oh, I just got into a car accident, I really need you to send me some cash, we actually have a code word that we can ask each other to make sure that.
Oh, I love that. I'm adopting that one.
Yeah, that's really smart. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not in the cybersecurity, but I guess I can throw in my own suggestion. So yeah, thank you to everyone, panelists, attendees. Really glad to have you all here, and look out for more from Renaissance. We are going to be continuing to host more webinars, and we'll be sending out information on the next one. So thanks again, everyone.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Bye. Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.